Luke 16 tells us about our responsibility to tell our brothers and sisters the truth. Right? That a sword is coming. Judgment comes first to the house of God. Now listen to what he says to her. We've seen how Jerusalem was used in two different ways. Jerusalem was used physically of Israel, but it's also used of this last day's church. When you're trying to understand what the Whore of Babylon is, understand it is Jerusalem. That is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. It is literally Jerusalem where the Antichrist will sit in the temple and proclaim himself God to have rule over the kings of the earth. Right? Jerusalem is that great city. And it tells us that very clearly in Revelation 11. Jerusalem is that city that holds sway over the kings of the earth. And that's, you know, we can look at Israel as being the heart of this world, physically. And the temple is being a picture of the Holy of Holies, where God is supposed to sit. That's God's throne. That's nobody else's. God made the earth and everything in it through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now you see why a descendant of David must sit upon that throne, because the son of David is a man after God's own heart. You've got to understand these things. You have to. To understand where you're at and what's going on. So Jerusalem, in that same way, can be said of the church. And those who have fallen away from the truth, and those of us who are in Ezekiel's place, and we must tell them the truth as watchmen. We must tell our own brothers and sisters. As Ezekiel tried to tell his. And we're few compared to the majority. But we have a word from the Lord in our mouths and our hearts, and we must speak it. Right? And so he tells Ezekiel here, in Luke 16, Ezekiel 16, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices. Confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices. Can you see the application? As Ezekiel was confronting the whore of Jerusalem who had run away from God and left his precepts. In the same way we seek where Christianity, what calls itself the people of God, have left God's precepts and have left the gospel. Can y'all see that application? Well, the things that we were reading about last night, it says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean. Nor were you rubbed with salt and wrapped in clothes. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. We see how this is done with Jerusalem, and we see how also this was done with Adam and Eve, with men. That cord is our relationship to going back to Adam. And through Adam's sin, we were cast into the open field, just like Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. And he said that he was kicking in your blood, struggling against that situation of death and corruption and uncleanness, but powerless to fix it. He says, when I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood, as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. I made you grow like a plant in the field. You grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew. You who were naked and bare. You can see that is a picture not only of God taking Israel from Abraham, who came out of the Chaldees, that God made them who were nothing into a great nation. But you also see how it applies to us. We were all in sin. We were all there in our blood in the open field, kicking in our own blood, struggling against that situation, and unable to overcome the nature of our uncleanness. And God passed by He said, I bathed you with water and washed your blood from you and put ointments on you, and I clothed you with an embroidered dress and leather sandals on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewels, and I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. He did all these things for us. But just like Jerusalem began to prostitute, so is Christianity. But you trusted in your beauty, verse 15 says, and I'm just quickly covering a few of the points we made yesterday. You trusted in your beauty and used your fame to become a prostitute. Isn't that what Christianity has done? The fame of Christianity spread from the early church, and they had all of these blessings of God, from the crown on their head to the shoes on their feet. They were blessed. And then they turned to prostitute those things. You've seen how they turned to prostitute. The church turned to prostitute itself to kings and rulers. You see how it prostituted itself to bring in the paganry of Rome. We covered these things in a lot more detail yesterday, but you get the point, don't you? And you took your sons and daughters, whom you bore to me, and sacrificed them as food to the idols. Was your prostitution not enough? As the people of Israel would pass their sons unto Molech, their sons and daughters to Molech, and sacrifice their children. There's a real picture of us sacrificing our children today. We bring them in through Christ into the church, and then we let them become indoctrinated into that whore and the ways of the prostitute. We've seen how this prostitute's engaged in prostitution, right? A prostitute gauges how successful she is by how many lovers she has and how much money she gets through those lovers. And that's the way this church has become, by how many people they got in it and how many political leaders they're in bed with. They do it by the numbers, like David counting his army. And it's a sin, and it's atrocious. The married wife counts herself successful if her husband is pleased. The prostitute counts herself successful by how many lovers she has from applying her trade. Can you see that comparison with Christianity today? You'd have to be blind not to, huh? And so we take the children that we say we're bringing to God and we sacrifice them to idols. And it talks about how she made for herself. You made for yourself male idols and engaged in prostitution with them. Male idols. And you remember what they used to do. They'd take idols and they would make sure that it had the right equipment. You know what I mean? And the prostitutes would actually engage with intercourse with these idols. That's what the temple prostitutes would do, engage in intercourse with these idols. Thought to receive a blessing. But the idol is dead. It can do nothing of itself. It was the worship of the demons behind it, wasn't it? Well, today, whenever we set a man up in the pulpit and worship him, whenever we follow a man like Jim Jones, aren't we sacrificing our children to him? And aren't we building for ourselves a male idol, because the man can do nothing of himself, is the influence that works behind him. There's a reason he's so charismatic and has so many followers. The church has built male idols for itself in the same way. Huh. Building these men up and sacrificing their children to him. The false teachings and the doctrines of demons. The man himself is powerless, but there's power working behind him. Just like the idols were mute, but the power was the demons they represented. And we see all these things are going on, and we see a great comparison between that Jerusalem and this Jerusalem. And now we get down to verse 23. Woe, woe to you, declares the Sovereign Lord. In addition to all your other wickedness, you built a mound for yourself and made a lofty shrine in every public square. At the head of every street, you built your lofty shrines and degraded your beauty, offering your body with increasing promiscuity to anyone who passed by. And man, do you see the same kind of scurvy little webs these spiders weave here to draw people into churches? There's a church on every street corner. And the idea isn't to go out and bring the lost in. The idea is to lure them like a prostitute into their little webs. There's a church on every street corner. And their spires go way up into the sky, lofty. Their crosses can be seen for miles. They have beautiful crystal cathedrals. But it's the house of a prostitute. And it's designed to bring into promiscuity anybody who passes by. You engaged in prostitution with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors. And that's a figure for the world, the Egyptians. Because we came out from among the Egyptians, didn't we, when God released us from the world. Pharaoh was the devil and the Egyptians are the people of the world. And we left that. But now they're turning to them. They're turning to the world. They turn to Egypt for help instead of to God. So I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory. And you can see a lot about all of this, for everything from the 501c to you name it. The faith-based initiative. Them turning into politics. You can see them turning to Egypt for help instead of God. Do you understand? Can you really start to see a clear picture here? So I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory. I gave you over to the greed of your enemies, the daughters of the Philistines, who were shocked by your lewd conduct. You engaged in prostitution with the Assyrians too, because you were insatiable. And after that, you still were not satisfied. Then you increased your promiscuity to include Babylonia, a land of merchants. But even with this, you were not satisfied. Babylonia, a land of merchants. I want to read you something about this whore, this prostitute of Jerusalem, the city who rules over the kings of the earth. Because when she is destroyed, I want you to see what's going to happen concerning these merchants. All right, it tells us, the merchants of the earth, verse 11, will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet and cloth, every sort of citron wood, an article of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense and myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, as fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and the bodies and souls of men. And they will say, the fruit you longed has gone from you. The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished. You see that comparison there? Then you increased your promiscuity to include Babylonia, a land of merchants. With even this you were not satisfied. How weak-willed you are, declares the Sovereign Lord. When you do all these things, acting like a brazen prostitute, when you build your mounds at the head of every street and make your lofty shrines in every public square, you were unlike a prostitute because you scorned payment. You adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband. Every prostitute receives a fee, but you give gifts to all your lovers, bribing them to come to you from everywhere for your illicit favors. So your prostitution, you know, they use the spiritual promises, don't they? Which is supposed to be the heritage of God's people. And they prostituted them to the world. Can you see how that? How they lure them with bribes? The religion of man? They promise them salvation and make them slaves. They promise them salvation and make them slaves. You adulterous wife, you prefer strangers to your own husband. Man. Therefore, you prostitute, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you poured out your wealth and exposed your nakedness in your promiscuity with your lovers, and because of all of your detestable idols, because you gave them your children's blood, therefore I'm going to gather all your lovers with whom you found pleasure, those you loved as well as those you hated, and I'll gather them against you from all around, and will strip you in front of them, and they will see all your nakedness. I will sentence you to the punishment of women who commit adultery and who shed blood. I will bring upon you the blood vengeance of my wrath and jealous anger. I will hand you over to your lovers, and they will tear you down, your mounds, and destroy your lofty shrines. They'll strip you of your clothes, and take your fine jewelry, and leave you naked and bare. And they'll bring a mob against you, who will stone you and hack you to pieces with their swords, and they'll burn down your houses and inflict punishment on you in the sight of many women. Now listen to this. Again, back to Revelations. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they'll weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand afar off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over you." Listen to this part. The angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples," verse 15 and 17, "multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin. They will leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish this purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." Revelation 11 tells us that it is this great city, Jerusalem. It says in Revelation 11, "Now when these two witnesses have finished their testimony," verse 7, "the beast that comes from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the street of the great city," which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, "where also their Lord was crucified." That's where the Antichrist is going to rule and reign from. Now it shows you right here, doesn't it, that they turn on her, both in 16 and 7 and Ezekiel 16 and Luke and Revelation 17. It tells you what that great city is. It is Jerusalem that rules over the cities of the earth. And she'll give her power to the beast. She gives them gifts. She gives them bribes, her lovers. And they're going to be the very ones who strip her bare and hack her up and set her to fire and strip her naked. Is there any doubt at all who Babylon the Great is? And you remember when Jesus told them in Matthew 23, "I'm going to hold this generation," Jerusalem. He goes, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who slay the prophets, you who stone those sent to you, how I'd long to gather you as chicks under my wings, and you wouldn't have it. O Jerusalem, I'm going to hold you accountable. Fill up with the sin of your fathers," he said. Matthew 23. "I'm going to hold you accountable for all the righteous blood." This generation. "I'm going to hold you accountable for all the righteous blood shed from that of Abel to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, who was slain between the porch and the altar. I'm going to leave you your house desolate," he said. And Rome came in and destroyed them in 70 AD. It was true. And that's what happened physically with Jerusalem. And we see that the Jerusalem of this day, it's going to happen, isn't it? That is Babylon the Great. Can you see it? Those who claim to be God's people, they're a prostitute. And they're committing adultery with the kings of the earth. And they count their success by the number of lovers they have. And you see, and we're called to confront her in her detestable practices. As watchmen on the wall, we are called to confront her in her detestable practices. That means going up to those who are our brothers and sisters that are in this whore and call them to account for what she's doing. That she can come out. Come out from among her, lest you partake of her plagues. Come out of Babylon. Do you understand what we're dealing with now? The picture is the same as it was in 70 AD, isn't it? At the time of Jesus. And as Jesus went to them in literal Jerusalem, we are going to them as the body of Christ, to this whore of the world. Is there any doubt to you that this is the whore of Babylon? There's a Jerusalem that's in bondage with her children, and there's a Jerusalem that is above and free. One is the bride, and the other is like Hagar, a bondwoman. The other is like Jezebel, called to be the queen of Israel, but yet the high priestess of Baal. And she will be cast down. And she will be called into account. And as Jesus said, he was going to hold that generation accountable for all the righteous blood shed. Remember, this whore is drunk with the blood of the saints. There's no doubt as to who she is there? We're not just talking about the Catholic Church. We're talking about this Jerusalem who has wandered away from the truth and has begun to chase after her lovers. There's a judgment coming. And we must confront her. Judgment comes first to the house of God. That's a good place to stop.